Welcome to Cashflow Positive. I'm your host, Kenny Bedwell, founder of SCR Insights, one of the leading data platforms in the industry. Through using data and analytics, I've been able to replace my W-2 with cash flow from my successful short-term rentals. And my goal is to help you achieve the same freedom and success. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just a novice looking to make your mark, Cashflow Positive is your go-to resource for unlocking the full potential of your property portfolio. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Cashflow Positive. I'm your host, Kenny Bedwell, and we're going to be talking about how to negotiate like a boss, you know, like Chris Voss, if you understand that reference. From Chris Voss is a former FBI professional negotiator, and he wrote a book, a really good book, if you haven't listened to, called How to Split the Difference. I definitely recommend you listen to that book. It's not about real estate. It's about just negotiating and people and psychology of how people think during negotiations. And really interesting, really love Chris Voss and his stuff. So check that out. But one of the things I've noticed is that a lot of real estate investors, especially newer ones, are really bad at negotiating and understanding what you can offer, what you can ask for, and more importantly, when can you ask for things? Because a lot of people, they get really excited about understanding that you can negotiate, but they just think that they can automatically go out, negotiate, and get the things that they heard about from a podcast or YouTube video or whatever. But it really depends on the situation. And so my goal today on this podcast and really the series for this week is to go over how to negotiate and some of the tactics and skills and things that we use today to help us get the best deals possible. We just had a property that was listed on the market for over 100 days in Montana, Whitefish, Montana. And this property was, so it was listed on the market for 100 days, had an incredible view. So I talk about the moat all the time. It had a moat, had 6 bedrooms, but the property needed a little bit of work. Okay. And that's the reason why it wasn't selling, is because it needed a lot of work. And it was listed for a little over what it was worth. So it was listed for about $900. And so we went in and we said, heck, let's try to negotiate with the sellers. It's been over 100 days. Let's see what their take. And long story short, we ended up getting this property for $725. And that's kind of what I want to talk to you about, is how did we get that? Not just for that property, but there were a couple of points in time when we were able to make the deals work or make them even sweeter than just getting it at asking or getting it for a little bit less than asking. And that's what you have to understand, is there's times to negotiate and how you negotiate and when you can negotiate. And so let's dive into it. And I'm actually going to use a presentation for this. And I haven't done this in a while, but I made a presentation. It was for a workshop I did, and I felt like it was really helpful to visualize. So if you're listening to this in the car, it's fine. I'm going to cover it verbally, but I encourage you to go watch the YouTube video on the channel, Cashflow Positive, the YouTube channel, Cashflow Positive. And if you do go watch it, please like and subscribe to that channel so we can grow it and make it look something. So let's bring in the screen. And let's cover it together. Okay. So first off, I want to talk about when you negotiate, what you can negotiate on. Because most people think the only thing you can negotiate on is price. Meaning the property is listed for $900, therefore that guy must have offered $725 and it was accepted. That's not the case. Okay. Price is a big one, but there's other things that you can negotiate into deals. And so let's start with what you can negotiate. So I have 6 things listed here, and they're kind of generic categories, but the reality is there's a lot of stuff you can negotiate. Real estate transactions can involve not just real estate in the deal, but any other things going on. So meaning like you can negotiate furnishings and you can negotiate agent commissions, right? That's a big thing now we're going to talk about. And then finally, that's only 2. So, or 3, I guess, price. We talked about agent commissions, current furnishings. You can go for money back at close. Okay, meaning credits to help offset renovations, or maybe you have contractor fees, like you hire a designer or someone to help a finder fee or whatever. That can be negotiated for the closing tables through seller credits. You can negotiate inspection items, meaning, and this was a pretty common one too that you hear about, oh, well, this is broken and you need to fix it, seller. So we want you to fix it or we're out of the deal. And the seller goes and fixes it or gives you money to go and fix it. And then finally, this big one doesn't get talked about a lot, and it's been happening a lot, are appraisal gaps. So meaning you offer $900, but the appraisal comes back for the house is only $850. Okay, what do you do? Is the deal dead? what happens at that point. So it's really important to understand when you have leverage to be able to negotiate these things. Some people luck out and they have a ton of leverage, and or the seller's more desperate and they can negotiate more of these things. And if you have a really good agent, they will understand all the things you can negotiate. They probably won't be too happy about negotiating agent commissions, which we're going to talk about this one. And if you're a realtor, you might not like this episode, okay? Because I'm going to go over some hacks that we've done to work on those agent commissions and get them down for some of the buyers. But the reality is, like, understanding when and what you can negotiate is important. So we just talked about what. So we've got price, money back at close, agent commissions, furnishings, inspection items, and appraisal gaps are items that you can quote unquote negotiate. Okay. So let's talk about when you can negotiate. Okay. For these particular items. And I kind of made a rough timeline here. This is a slide I'm showing. If you're just listening to this right now, it's a timeline of like a bunch of different things on it. Of like the process and how it works, okay? So let's just run through finding a deal together. We found a deal, okay? And we ran some numbers on it, meaning we know what the revenue, we know what estimated expenses are. We feel really good about it. Now, so I call that the pro forma stage. So run your numbers first. You should always run your numbers first before you even get into the whole like crafting the right offer and negotiating and all that. Because the negotiations happen in really like two big places. And one, before the offer gets accepted, and then two, after the offer is accepted and you're under contract. Okay. So what does that tell you? Like, you can really negotiate throughout the entire deal, but there are certain deadlines or timelines on when you can and can't negotiate on specific things. That's really, really important. Okay. One of the biggest misconceptions that people have with negotiating is that it's kind of like, oh, well, it's culturally unacceptable to negotiate at this point, or, you know, it's not okay to ask this or whatever. But there's not necessarily like a law against certain types of negotiations, or like you can't actually do that or whatever. Really, negotiations and whether it gets accepted or not is just a matter of like a yes or a no from both parties. If both parties agree to something like extending the close deadline, then the close deadline gets extended. If both parties agree, hey, guess what? That property that got appraised for, you offered 900 and only got appraised for 850, and the buyer's only going to pay 850, and the seller really wants to get rid of the house and says, you know what? If it's only worth 850, it's 850. Both parties agree, therefore, then price changes. Okay, so really, negotiations is all about getting both parties to agree to one. And that can really happen in real estate transactions throughout the entire process. But I do agree that you cannot be sitting at the closing table asking for price cuts. Okay. So use your brain when negotiating, but also don't feel like you just have to negotiate at the offer table, okay, before you even get it accepted and under contract. That's really important. All right, let's go through this. So you run your numbers, step one. Step two we have on the timeline is crafting the offer and negotiating with a buyer's agent. So there's two parts to this. So when you assuming you've already looked at the property and you feel really good about it, you've run your numbers now, right? We've kind of covered that. We're also assuming that you've already seen the property, whether that's in person or through video, through an agent. Either, now this is important, if you've already seen the property, the agent probably made you sign a buyer agent agreement. Okay. This has become really common nowadays. Now, what they're going to do in there is they're going to come to you and say, look, if I'm going to work with you and go see these properties for you, you have to work with me. Okay, if you buy this property, you're going to work through me, and this is how much commission you have to pay me, or you're responsible for paying me. Now, what's really important here, we could do a whole episode on this, is you don't actually have to pay that commission if the seller covers it. Okay, so we're seeing deals today where the seller's saying, hey, I'm not going to pay any agent commission. So the buyer isn't responsible for the buyer agent's commission. All right, so you got to understand, and we'll get to that when you actually go into like the deal process, but that is negotiable, what you pay the buyer agent. So if the buyer agent comes to you and says, look, it's 3%, meaning you're responsible for covering 3% of the deal for my fees. And you're like, you know what? I'll give you 2. Okay. Then the agent has, that's a negotiation process. The agent has to make a decision as to whether that is acceptable or not. I'm going to tell you right now, And this is where the agents will like be excited and be like, hey, Kenny, we like you now. Don't hold your breath on that. I'm going to tell you right now, do not try. I mean, you can, obviously you can. I don't bother with trying to negotiate at that point with buyer agents. Okay. Because number one, they probably haven't seen the property yet. We don't even know if the property is actually a great deal or not yet. Okay. I know I kind of have this like a step two, but it's really maybe even a part one. So don't worry about it. If they say 3% and you like the agent, you think they're good, then do the 3%. They're probably worth it. And they'll feel validated by it. I mean, think about it. If they're getting 3% from all their other clients and you're only getting 2 or maybe 1.5 from them or for them, they're probably not going to treat you like a VIP, right? So we want to get them excited, incentivized. So that's just signing the agreement you have. Okay. But we'll figure out the rest later. And I'll tell you a little cheat. I don't know if it's cheap, but like a little hack that we found with these agents. So you negotiate with your agent, you've seen the property, you love the numbers, now you're crafting the offer. Okay. Remember, you can negotiate on price, you can negotiate on furniture. I like those furnishings. I like that trampoline. I want that part of the deal. Let's put that in the transaction. I want seller credits, meaning I want money at the close table for these specific items, like contractors and so on, not cash on hand. That's where it gets a little gray. Okay. Or maybe even concessions. All right. So you're negotiating and you're working on your price and what you think it's worth it. Okay. This is where you can rely on the agent, but you also need to understand that the agent is motivated by the sell the property, meaning that if the property is 800,000 and the agent feels, yeah, it might appraise for 800,000, they're going to really incentivize you to offer $800,000. Okay. Even if it's been sitting on the market for a while. Okay. And the reason why is because they're motivated by commission, the amount that they get. Okay. Now, this is where I know a lot of agents are going to be like, I hate you, Kenny, or they just disagree, I think, on what I just said. But it's true. Look at where people's motivations are and then leverage those motivations to get the most out of them. Meaning, I don't 100% rely on my agent to figure out what the price of the property should be, because they're motivated by how much they can get from the sale. It doesn't matter if they have 100% heart behind it for my intentions, okay, and they want the best for me. They all want the best for me. They're not going to say, we want the worst for me. But the reality is they make their money off the sale of the property. So the higher the purchase price, the more money they make. So it's really important to do your due diligence and get the information, get the comparable properties from them to verify and to know what your offer is. But here's the problem. Just because you can negotiate doesn't mean you should negotiate, okay? I see this all the time with people is they get really excited about offering for seller credits because they heard myself or someone else talk about seller credits, getting a sweet deal and getting the win, you know, and you know, getting the power over the seller. But the problem is a lot of the properties they're offering on have literally just been listed on the marketplace. So let's imagine a scenario where there's been 10 offers on a property and you come in at asking, but you want 50K back in credits and all these other things that you're trying to negotiate in. What's the seller going to do? Nope, you're not getting the deal. Okay. But the problem is, here's the thing. Remember the negotiations and getting the deal to, you know, like making it sweeter. That's the cherry on top. If the property doesn't make sense from a pro forma standpoint as is, then you really shouldn't even be negotiating with the deal to begin with, okay? Because once you go under contract, okay, that's where things start, your options start to get limited on when and what you can negotiate, but you still can, okay, but you're just more limited. So your numbers need to make sense first. So it's baffling to me that there's a lot of these people who are like, no, I will only get a deal if I get seller credits. And I'm like, well, if it's a deal, then it's a deal. It doesn't matter if you got credits or you got the furnishings or you paid your agent 2% instead of 3. If the numbers made sense from the beginning, then it's a freaking deal and don't worry about the rest, okay? Because your leveraging power, it's all about leveraging power and how much you have. I love finding deals that have been on the market for like 50 plus days, okay? Because you as a buyer have a lot of leveraging power. You go to the seller and they're like, yeah, this has been on the market for almost 2 months or more, and I want to get rid of this thing, right? That's why they're selling it. So they're going to be more willing to work with you. I love those properties because a lot of times the listing agent will be like, yeah, throw us out an offer and let's talk. We just want to see an offer. This is because they want to sell it. Okay. And the agent too, the listing agent wants to sell the property and get commissions. So they're motivated by selling the property. So the longer the property's been on the market, the more leveraging power you have. Therefore, if it's been on for a day or 8 hours and you throw in an offer with a bunch of credits and other crap tied to it, it's not going to get accepted, or it's pretty much not going to get accepted, right? Like a high likelihood of not getting accepted. So understand first and foremost, is it a deal logically? And then the rest of it is the nice cherry on top. Okay, so we got that. Let's move to agent commissions. I'm going to talk to you about that hack I was just mentioning that we've seen a couple times in our favor. So we've had clients sign 3% agent agreements or whatever. They get into the deal and they do the inspection process. Okay, or not even the inspection process. They're just offering on the property. Okay, let's just start with that. So let's say a property, they're listed for $1.2 million. You believe, and this is actually a real example. So it was listed for $1.2 million and you're like, this thing isn't worth over a million. Okay. So you go and you're like, all right, we're going to offer $950. And the sellers come back and say $1.1 million. And you're like, okay, we'll do a million, but nothing more than that. And they come back and they say $1.5 million, like $1,050,000. And you're like, well, it's a million. Like we can't do more. And the seller's like, nope, we won't do a million. It has to be over a million. Okay. And then you're at a deadlock. What do you do? Okay. So number one, your options are number one, you put it under contract, you go into inspections and try to negotiate from there. Okay. That's what a lot of people do. And that's fine too. Number two, you back out. Okay. Or number three, the hidden option that you can do is cut agent commissions down. All right. Now, in order to do that, like I mentioned before, any type of negotiations is you have to have both parties agree, which means you got to go and you say, seller, part of my agreement is you're paying for the agent's commissions. Okay. And the seller's like, well, yeah. Okay. Not all of them are. So if they're not, then you're obviously responsible for that. But you go back to your agent, regardless of that, you go back to your agent and say, look, there is a difference of $50,000 here. Okay. How can we make this work between both agents? Because both agents want to get the deal done. Now, if the property hasn't been on the market for very long, you're going to have a hard time pulling this off, I'm about to tell you. But if it's been on the market for a while, and this is kind of like the desperate Hail Mary play where the listing agent's like, please, someone buy this thing. And the buyer agent's like, this is a big deal for me, and I'm going to make a lot of money on this. You probably pull this off. We've seen this pulled off at least 3 or 4 times this year alone. You go to the buyer's agent. You can even go to the listing agent too with the seller. Say, guys, look, how about you cut your commissions down 3%? Okay, well, that's $30,000. You're looking at $1 million deal, 3% or at total. So you lose 1.5, you lose 1.5. So you're down to 3%. So you guys split that 3% that's left over, because normally they get 6% total. Seller gets 3, buyer gets 3, or whatever they have worked out. Okay, so they cut that down, and boom, all of a sudden you're $30,000 closer to where you want to be. That happens a lot. So remember, negotiating, it's all about both parties agreeing to things. Just because you signed a buyer agent's agreement a few months, like, or, you know, before you even offered on the property, doesn't mean that your agent isn't willing to negotiate with you to change the commission to make the deal work out. Okay. Now, if the agent's like, heck no, I'm not going to cut my commissions. There's got to be another way. And you're like, well, look, there is no other way. Like, it's not worth a million, or it's not worth 1.5 or 1,050,000, and I'm at a million. You're at a standstill in a stall, and the deal's probably not going to move forward. Okay. But understand, like, you either tell the agent, okay, look, like, we're not getting the deal. And then what's that agent going to do? So you see how much power, like leveraging power, you have there. Now, I don't recommend you go do that to every agent and say, Kenny did that. Please don't do that. Please, please, please don't do that, because they're going to come to me and be like, why? But the reality is you can do that, especially in situations where you're at a standstill. All right. But those are extreme situations. Okay. Let's keep moving, because you can also negotiate. Let's say you accepted the $1,050,000 and you're going to negotiate other places. There's two other times that you can negotiate that down to a million. Here are the places. Number one, add inspections. Okay. So you say, look, I will take your million. I will buy it for $1,050,000, but let's see how the inspections come out. All right. Remember, inspectors' jobs, this is important. Inspectors' jobs are to find problems with the property. That's literally what you're paying them to do. Okay. I understand you're paying them to see the condition, but their job and their quality and their value is dependent upon if they find any issues. Okay. I'm dead serious. Like, that's the reality of it. Okay. So if you're an inspector, Let's be honest, okay? Because you're motivated. They're going to pay you money, but you're motivated to show them your work and what you find or what you think there's problems with the property, which scares a lot of buyers. But that's good because we want to see what issues are with the property. At that point, you can then negotiate with the seller. Hey, look, the dishwasher's leaking. There's mold down here. There's this. There's a crack in the foundation. You need to fix these items. And you have two options. Option number one, you fix the items before they close and we'll get it inspected again. And you cover that. And so we know that they are fixed. Or option two, you give me credits for what it would be to have to fix those things. Okay. There's two options. So if it was like a bunch of issues and it was worth $50,000, well, boom, you're getting $50,000 at close to fix those things. And you ended up getting the deal for it's $1,050,000, but essentially $1 million. Okay. There's the win. The second area you can negotiate on is you can say, okay, the seller's like, look, the property's really good. And maybe there wasn't $50,000 worth of things to fix. Maybe there's only 10. Okay. And they said, I'll fix those things for you, but it's still $1,050,000. Okay. This is where the appraisal comes in. And this is really important. We've seen this a couple times. Number one, the property has to appraise for $1,050,000 or you're not going to get financing for it if you're financing the deal. Okay. So let's say that the appraisal report comes back and it's only worth $1,010,000. Then you go to the seller, you say, hey, look, it's only worth $1,010,000. I told you. And then the seller has an option. Now, here's the beautiful thing about the appraisals is they come along further in the process. That means the property, you've been negotiating with them, you've done inspections, you've done all these other things. And then a few weeks to a month in, almost a month, I mean, I guess not a month, quite a month, but like 2 to 3 weeks in, their appraisal report comes in. That means the property's been pending and under contract for at least 2 to 3 weeks. So that's at least 21 days, right? Or 14 to 21 days that it's been sitting on top of what it was sitting before. So you now have even more power because the seller's been sitting even longer and they're getting more and more like impatient. They're trying to get to the close table and they're almost there, but there's problems holding up. And people are more inclined to go, you know what? Screw it. Let's just get it through. Let's figure it out. Okay. I've seen that time and time again. And I want to share this last tidbit with you for those of you who are going in on very competitive deals. I've seen this work a couple times with this using this appraisal gap leverage. So we had a person that put a property under a property was listed at $550,000. Okay. It was turkey. It was doing really, it was like $110,000 in gross revenue. It was a really good deal. It was a good opportunity. Okay. We knew going into the deal that there would be a lot of offers on the table. Okay, so simply giving asking price wasn't going to cut it if we wanted the deal. So what we said is we would offer asking, but do what we call an escalation clause. So an escalation clause basically says, hey, I will give you up to a certain number. So we said $600,000, okay? We'll give you up to $600,000 for this property if people bid higher, than what we ask. So if somebody bids up, we'll do like 5,000 more up to 600,000. So if somebody bid or someone offers 560, and we only offered 550, then we would automatically have an offer in at 565. And that would go all the way. It's kind of like eBay, right? It would go all the way up to the 600K. And then if someone offered more than that, then we're done. It's not worth it. So this property, sure enough, it got 9 offers. We offered 550, escalation up to 600. And we ended up getting it under contract at 590, meaning somebody offered 585, it escalated to 590, that 5K in front. Okay, we got it under contract for 590, but we knew it wouldn't appraise for 590. Okay, so we go through inspections, we work out inspections, get the price down a little bit because there's issues. So we got it down to like 580. Okay, awesome. Appraisal report comes back and it's listed, it got appraised for 540. Okay, we're sitting at 580. We got it under contract 590. 580, now it's down to 540. So we have two options. Option one, the seller's gonna be like, you know what? You're gonna have to pay the appraisal gap, meaning like you gotta make up the $40,000 in difference. Or the seller's gonna go, okay, cool. I'll take 540. So we said, hey, seller, we're not gonna pay the appraisal gap, 540. We threw that at them first to see what they said. And they said, yes. So we actually got it for less than what the original asking price was of 550 down to 540. But we would have never gotten that if we didn't get it under contract to begin with. Did we get any credits or anything for the inspections? No. Okay. But there wasn't that much stuff. It was only 10K, but we were down at 540. So we actually got a better deal being at 540 instead of really, we got under contract at 590. That's a big difference. Okay. And there was all this competition for this deal. So we had that appraisal contingency in and was able to get that deal and make it work out because of that. So anyway, I'm going to wrap up here. I know the episode went way longer, but this is all really, really good stuff, guys, to make deals sweeter and make them better. Learn how to negotiate. Learn how to work with your agents. Get creative on these things. And if agents have problems with this, then they're probably not the right agent for you. I'm going to be flat out honest with you. If they're like, no, you can't, don't negotiate here. Don't work on that. Don't do, like, if they're not even thinking about these things or know about these things, guys, like, you need to work with people who understand how to negotiate and have your best intentions in mind, but don't rely on them because they're motivated by the sale. Learn this. Negotiations or how to negotiate is actually a skill. Like I talked about at the beginning, Chris Voss, Never Split the Difference. He's teaching a skill and an ability. So learn that skill and ability and you will get better deals. It's not just about having experience in real estate. How do you get real experience? You buy deals and you go through the trial and error and the fire, you know, the refiner's fire. But the reality of it, though, is it's a skill that you've learned as you've gone through the experience. But if you can pick up that skill or have some of it before you go into it, you're going to be better off and get better deals. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I want you to come on the next episode and listen, or I just want you to listen to the next episode because I'm going to be talking about how to, I'm going to actually bring on an agent who's really good at negotiating. And we're going to talk back and forth about what and how he negotiates and things he negotiates on for his clients. And you can hear some of the stories and some of the successes he's had and when, and maybe when not to negotiate. So I hope this was helpful. I hope you enjoyed this episode and I will see you on the next episode of Cashflow Positive.